Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Beitza Daf Yud Dalet. We are holding on the top of Yud Dalet Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, anonymous wife and children. It's also sponsored anonymously for Gemar Chasima Tova for all of Klal Yisrael. Also sponsored by Misha Feldman as a thank you from him and his Chicago Daf followers for speaking live to the community at the YU Torah Mitzion Kollel event on Sunday. And a special thank you to the Rosh Kollel, Rabbi Reuven Brand, for facilitating it. It was such a great chizuk for me to be there. Thank you to the Chicago community. Also by the Keller, Kazan, and Shapiro families in memory of Avram Ben Yitzchak, Alan Kazan, Alev Shalom, on the occasion of his third yard site, the Neshama Shav and Aliyah. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsors. So we're holding out the Mishnah on Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. Essentially, there are three topics in today's daf. We're going to discuss the Malacha of Tochein as it relates to Yom Tov. We're going to discuss the Malacha of Borer as it relates to Yom Tov. And we're going to discuss the issue of sending gifts on Yom Tov. Tochein is the first Mishnah on Amud Aleph. Borer is the Mishnah on the top of Amud Beis. And then sending gifts are the last two Mishnayis on Amud Beis. So that's going to be those are the three basic topics, obviously with a lot more details filled in along the way. So let's begin at the Mishnah on Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. We're down to the last two abbreviated shiurim, just today and tomorrow for a half hour, and then we'll maybe have time to say things. So says the Mishnah. The basic idea is crushing salt and tavlin is a tolda of the av melacha of tochein, and normally melacha sochel nefesh is mutar on yontav. Achash ayeyas alachol nefesh ulvado yeyas. But nevertheless, not all malachas, even for ochel nefesh, are mutar on Yom Tov. One of the exceptions is the malacha of tochein, when one grinds tavlin and melech, that's mutar, but only in certain ways of doing it. It's not just an all-out heter. So the machlokas in our Mishnah is going to be, how do you do it? How do you grind tavlin? How do you grind salt? And are they different from each other? So b'shamirom tavlin idochin b'madoch shaleitz. If you're grinding tavlin, you're grinding spices, you cannot use a stone pestle, you have to use a wooden pestle. That's all the shinoi that you need. V'amelech b'pach, but a melech, but grinding salt needs a bigger shinoi. You need to use like a pach, which is like a pot, a pottery pot. Or you can crush up salt using a mixing spoon, which is also a major shinoi. So beisilal omrim tavlin nidochin kedarkin. No, tavlin doesn't even require a shinoi at all. B'maduch shaleven, you could use even a stone pestle. V'hamelach b'maduch shaleitz. And salt requires a shinoi, but only a minor shinoi. Salt, you only need a maduch shaleitz, so you could use a wooden pestle to grind up salt. So says Gemara, dukuli al-mamiyas melech b'ya shinoi. Everyone seems to agree, both Beishamai and Beisilal, that to grind salt, you need to use some sort of shinoi. It's just that Beishamai requires a big shinoi, and Beisilal requires a small shinoi. My time, why is salt different than other spices? Because that's the other thing they both agree on. They both agree that salt is different than other spices. Beishamai says other spices only need a little shinoi. Beisil says other spices don't need a shinoi at all. So why are we much more careful about salt than other spices? So Rav Huna Rav Chista, there's a machlokas Rav Huna Rav Chista what the answer to that question is. Chadom or kol gederes kulin tzrichas melech. One of them explains that salt requires a shinoi because you should have known that you're going to need it on Yom Tov, because every single dish that you make requires some sort of salt. So we don't allow grinding a spice when it's something that could have been done before Yom Tov, unless you utilize a shinoi. So ve'in kalak deres shrichas tavlin, but not every single dish that you're going to make is going to require tavlin, and therefore you don't know what you're going to want to eat tomorrow. You don't know where you're going to be in the mood to cook on Yom Tov. So you couldn't have done it from erev Yom Tov, and that's why we allow you to crush the spices on Yom Tov, even according to Beis Hillel, even without a shinoi, and according to Beis Shammai, with a minor shinoi, like any other melacha of ochel nefesh that's mutter to do on Yom Tov. But the other explanation is not about how much how predictable it is that you're going to need that particular spice, but rather it's about whether you really could have done this melacha with equal effectiveness prior to Yom Tov. Kola tavlin mefigin taiman. Melech ena mefigin taima. When you grind spices in advance, by a day later, it already lost some of its sharpness. Like when you grind maror before Yom Tov, it's not the same if you grind it a few days in advance or if you grind it right before Yom Tov, so you grind right in advance of eating it. It loses some of that sharpness over time. But salt is going to taste exactly the same no matter when you grind it. And therefore, by when it comes to other spices, you couldn't have done it before Yom Tov with equal effectiveness. When it comes to salt, you could have done it with equal effectiveness before Yom Tov, and therefore you can't do it on Yom Tov unless you utilize a shinui. My benai, what's enough kamina between these two explanations for the reason that you need to utilize either a shinui or a major shinui according to Beishama when it comes to salt? Ika benayu. The other makadera by Luvashule. Well, one nafka, simple nafkamina is if you already have a menu, you already know exactly what you're going to want to cook tomorrow. According to the first sheet of the whole reason for the heter of Tavlin is because you don't know what you're going to want tomorrow. So in a case where you do know what you're going to want tomorrow, then you don't have such a heter of Tavlin. But according to the second understanding, that the reason for the heter of Tavlin is that it's going to lose some of its sharpness. So in no matter whether you know what you're going to want to eat or you don't know what you're going to want to eat, it's still going to lose some of its sharpness. Inami, another nafkamina between the two reasons, is bimorika, a certain type of tavlin that does not lose its sharpness when you, does not lose its flavor when you grind it in advance. So according to the second shita, it would have the same din of salt and it will require a shinoi, because you could have done an erev yom tov. But according to the first shita, it does not have the same din of salt. You still didn't know that you were going to need it on erev yom tov, because not every dish that you make has morika in it. All things that you're going to crush with a pestle, you can do in the normal way with a maduch shaleven on Yom Tov. Afilu melech, even salt. So this is against everybody. I mean, we had a machlokas in our Mishnah. How much of a shinoi do you need for salt? A little shinoi or a major shinoi? But everyone held you need some sort of shinoi. So it says va'amrit melech by shinoi. We said in our Mishnah the kulei alma. Even Beis Hillel says that you need some sort of shinoi. That you got to use a madach shaleitz at the very least. So it says Marhuda Amar Kiyaitana. Shmuel must be assuming like the report in of the shitos as reported in the Brisa, which disagrees with our Mishnah and explains the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel differently than our Mishnah explained the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Titanya Amar Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says in the Brisa Lo Nachu Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Al Nidochin Shenidochin Kedar. That everyone holds that spices can be nidoch kedarkan, that you can crush them and grind them in the normal way, and umelach imahen, and you can also crush salt together with the other spices. Lo nechliku ela ledocha b'fnei atzma. The whole nachlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is if you want to grind salt only, salt alone, not together with other tavlin. That's where Beis Shammai Yom Melach b'pach ube'etz haparur, that Beis Shammai says that you can only you can't crush salt on its own unless you're going to use a pach, which is a pot, or an etaparur, or you're going to use a wooden pestle, litzli, and even then, only if you're grinding the amount of salt that you would need to roast meat, which is not so much salt. You don't need to put that much salt on meat when you're going to roast it, because when you roast on an open fire, that draws out much of the blood anyway. Avalol kedera, but you're not allowed to crush the amount of salt that you need to cook in a pot, because when you want to cook a piece of meat in a pot, you need a massive amount of salt in order to on all sides of the meat and all the parts of the meat in order to draw out the dam. So that you're not allowed to do in Yom Tov, even if you employ a shinui. Ubeisil amrim bechal davar. Beisil says you can crush salt with everything. So it says more bechal davar sal kedaitach, with everything, even with an item that's muktza, you're allowed to crush salt. Ela ema li kal davar. No, what Beisil means to say is you can crush salt whether you're doing it for tzli or whether you're doing it for kedera, even if you need a large amount of salt. So from Rameir you see that Beisil allows Ktishas HaMelech, even Kedarka, even with a normal way of crushing the salt, even a Madok Shaleven, because when the Seifa, whenever you add a Seifa to a Resha, the Seifa assumes that everything's staying the same, that all the assumptions are staying the same, except for what we actually change. So the Resha says that they don't disagree about Melech and Tavlin together, that you're allowed to be Kotesh Kedarka, that you're allowed to use a normal stone pestle. So the Seifa that says that where they have a machlokas about melach bifnei atzmo is also talking about kedisha kedarka. It's also talking about using a stone pestle. And even that Beis Hillel allows. Bein litzli, bein lekedera. Beis Hillel allows even if you need a lot of salt. So it turns out that Beis Hillel disagrees with Beis Shammai about two things. The fact that you don't require a shinoi at all, and the fact that you're allowed to crush enough salt for kedera. So Shmuel, who allows being crushing the salt, kedarko, holds like the shita of Rabbi Meir in his understanding of the Beis Hillel. So not the shita of our Mishnah in its understanding of the Beis Hillel, but the shita of Rabbi Meir in its understanding of the shita of Beis Hillel. Amar le Rav Acha bar Lebrei, ki dayachta atzli atzli v'doch. When Rav Acha bar Dilo would instruct his son about how to crush spices on Yom Tov, he told him he should tilt the mortar a little bit in order to do to employ some sort of shinoi. I mean, he holds like Shmuel that you're allowed to use you're allowed to crush salt in the normal way b'maducha shaleven, but a little bit of a shinoi just in the way you tilt the kli, in the way that you do it. But you're allowed to use the normal kli and you're allowed to crush salt. Rav Sheshes Shama Kol Buchna, when Rav Sheshes heard the sound of a pestle that was grinding, Amar Hai Lav Migavi. He said, I know one thing, that's not from my house, because in my house we don't do that. In my house, I already told them that such a thing is asir. V'dilma atzli atzli, how do you know it's not from your house? Maybe they're tilting it a little bit and they're doing this sort of shinoi. Tishame David Salu Kale, he heard the sound of it, the way that it sounded when they were crushing it was with a very clear sound, and it wouldn't produce such a clear sound if they were doing it with a shinoi. V'dilma tavlin havlum, maybe it wasn't salt. Maybe it was a tavlin. And tavlin doesn't require a shinoi according to Beis Hillel. We pass on Beis Hillel. So tavlin buche minabach kalayu. Yeah, but tavlin, when you crush it, makes a louder sound. And he was able to tell just by listening to how it was being crushed that it wasn't tavlin, that it was melach that they were crushing. Tan Rabbanan, ein osin tisni vein kotshin b'machtesha. So you're not allowed to make crushed wheat, and crushed tisni is very finely crushed wheat, where each piece, each grain of wheat is cut into four pieces, because that requires a great tircha, and also you're not allowed to crush chitin with the machteshas on Yom Tov. So ask the Gemara, Tarti, those two things are sosar each other. From the Reisha, it sounds like you're only not allowed to cut it up into four little pieces on Yom Tov, because there's a big tircha in doing so. But if you were to make it what they call chilka, which is each kernel of wheat is cut into half, or daisa, where they're totally crushed, so you're allowed to make on Yom Tov, because that doesn't involve such a big tircha, where the Seifa says that you're not allowed to be kotesh chitim at all. Sounds like even chilka and daisa. Lav davka tisni. So answers the Gemara, really, you're not allowed to be kotesh chitim with a machteshes at all. It's lav davka tisni. And the two statements of the Braisa are not two separate dinim. They're one din. Hachi kamar. Ma tam enos and tisni. You know why you're not allowed to make this tisni dish that crushes up each kernel of grain into four pieces? Lefi shein kotesh. Machteshes, because you're not allowed to use machteshes at all to make anything, not daisa, not chilka, nor tisni. So says Gemara, v'dilma in kochin b'machteshes. Maybe the Tana, if that's the case, v'lema rather, in kochin machteshes. Why doesn't the Tana of the Braisa just say that you're not allowed to use machteshes at all? If it's not about the tisni, you're not allowed to make anything with a machteshes. Why doesn't the Braisa just say that in kochin machteshes? Why does he have to say the reisha at all about tisni? Why do you have to identify a particular way of cutting grain, of crushing grain? Itani in kosher machteshes, says Marla, because if we would have said in kosher machteshes, hava mina hanimil machteshes gedola, I would have thought that's only if you're using a large machteshes, because that's what a stam machteshes is, of machteshes katana im a shapir dummy. But if you're using a small handheld machteshes, I would think that that's mutter to crush with anyantuf, because it's not meant for chitim, it's really only meant for tavlin. So when you're using it for chitim, it's a shinoi, and I would think that's therefore mutter. So that's why it first says, you're not allowed to make tisni at all. Even not with the machteshes katana, so kamash malan, and therefore that's why the sefer tells me in kosher machteshes that it's not only about the tisni; you're not allowed to use the machteshes at all. So it says Gemara Vatanya in kosher machteshes gedola, the kosher machteshes katana. The Gemara says that's not correct, because that's not true. The Brisa tells us you're not allowed to use machteshes gedola, but you are allowed to use a machteshes katana because it's only meant for tavlin. And crushing wheat is considered ketish kalachar yad. It would be considered doing it with a shinoi. So because since it's only meant for tavlin, the small one is only meant for tavlin. So the braisa must be talking about dafka machteshes gedola. And now we're back to our question: why do you need this din of tisni in the reisha at all? It doesn't add anything. Just tell me onion kosher machteshes. I'll know you're not allowed to use machteshes gedola. Why mention anything about tisni? So, second possible answer: Amar Abayi Kitanya Nami Masnisa Machteshes Gedola Tanya. That Abayi says that when our Braisa is speaking, it's talking about machteshes gedola that you're not allowed to use in Yom Tov, and the Sefer is not giving a reason for the Reisha like the Gemara said before. It's two separate dinim. The Reisha is telling us that making tisni is usher no matter how you're going to make tisni, even if you use machteshes katana, because that's an excessive tircha that you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. The Sefer is telling me that other types of ketisha are aser, and that's only the other types of ketisha are only aser. B'machteshes gedola would not be a problem in a machteshes ketana. Rava Amar lo kasha. Rava says a third approach, that it's really only one din in the brisa, and the Sefer is not giving a reason for the reisha like we had suggested in our first answer. No, the reisha is coming to tell us that you're not allowed to use machteshes at all, even not a machteshes ketana. We then ask, why does it have to that we have a brisa that says that you are allowed to use a machteshes ketana? What are we going to do about the stira with the brisa? Meaning we rejected this answer. This was answer number one, and we rejected it. We said it can't be that this brisa is telling us that you're not allowed to even use a machteshes ketana, because we have another brisa that says you are allowed to use a machteshes ketana. Says, no, we'll stick with answer number one, but lo kasha. Halan v'halahu. It's not a stira between the two brises. When the second brisa says that you are allowed to use a machteshes ketana, that's for B'nai Bavel. B'nai Bavel don't have avadim who are going to be mezalzel in the Yisra of Melechus Yom Tov, and therefore you don't have to be choshesh that they're going to come to use a machteshes gedola as well, because they're going to say, oh, we use a machteshes ketana, why can't I use a machteshes gedola? But the brisa that says that you're not allowed to use even a machteshes ketana, that's luhu. That's for B'nai Eretz Yisrael. B'nai Yisrael have avadim, they're going to be mezalzel in the Yisra, you start allowing them to use a machteshes ketana, they had to make a gzer in Eretz Yisrael, you can't do that because they're going to come to use a machteshes gedola as well. Rav Papi Itla Lebei Mar Shmuel. Rav Papi once went to Mar Shmuel's house on Yom Tov. Isolate dice of locha. They brought him a porridge like a farina, and he wouldn't. That was made of crushed up grains that they used the machteshes gedola to crush it on Yom Tov, and he wouldn't eat it because he thought that this is made beisr, and you're not allowed to benefit from malacha on Yom Tov. This was done. This was malacha. This is the Ramban brings a raya in the Melchamos and Maseches Shabbos that you see from here that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda that you're not allowed to benefit from malacha Shabbos on Shabbos, whether it was done b'shogig, whether it was done b'mezid. Because Mestama, the Avadim, did it b'shogig. They didn't do it b'mezid. That's against many Rishonim. The Balamar and Tosos, they say, assume we passing like Rav Meir, that if it was done b'shogig, that you are allowed to benefit from the Malacha on Shabbos. The Ritva, however, says, Mikra Din, it would have been mutter, because we passing like Rabbi Meir, that it's mutter. He was just machmir on himself not to eat. A lot of times the Amoraim had personal chumras, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's something that one has to observe. So anyway, but he refused to eat it. So the Gemara said, why wouldn't Rav Papi eat it? How did he know that it was done with a machteshes gedola, the dilma machteshes ketana v'dua? Maybe they use machteshes ketana, and we said b'nei bavel are allowed to use machteshes ketana. They don't have these avadim; they're going to be mezalzel. The Chazir Davadayik Tvei, he saw that it was crushed really, really well in a way that the machteshes ketana could not have done. So he knew that it was done with a machteshes gedola. But still, the dilma may. How do you know that they made it on Yantif? Maybe they crushed all the grains for this dish before Yantif. When you cut it fresh, the color is much sharper, whereas over time, the color will fade a little bit. And he saw that it was a very sharp and bright color along the cuts. So or he thought that by the house of Mar Shmuel, it had a Bechinas Eretz Yisrael, in the sense that, just like in Eretz Yisrael, they had Avadim, it would be Mezalzel, Mar Shmuel had all these Avadim that he was concerned would be Mezalzel, and therefore It was machmir as if it was Eretz Yisrael. The Ritva says, "What? Mashmuel didn't know that. Mashmuel didn't know how to learn." Meaning, they had this this understanding that would distinguish Eretz Yisrael is if you have avadim that could be mezalzel. Mashmuel apparently had these avadim. How did Mashmuel not? He was a gavur rabba. How could he keep avadim who were mezalzel in Yisurim? So the Ritva says Mashmuel did a background check on all the avadim and he gave him a bechina. And even though they were prutzim, they were careful about the Yisurim. But Rav Papi didn't do a background check. So he was Machmer himself, not to rely on Mar Shmuel's background check, because Mar Shmuel himself couldn't have known 100%. He was comfortable enough, but Rav Papi never did his research. Shidim Gretz said he didn't want to rely on Mar Shmuel because an Eid Echad is not Neman to be Machshir these guys. He thought that an Eid Echad, even though Mar Shmuel is a Kasher Eid, an Eid Echad is not enough to be Machshir these fellows that were working for Mar Shmuel. Okay, so for whatever reason, Rav Papi went hungry that day. Okay, new mission now. So now that was the sugi of Tochin. Now we move on to Borer. Borer, of course, is one of Lam Tasmachs of Shabbos. And on Shabbos, Yechayev al Zdono Kares, Gosel Chatos, it's a real malacha. But there's a way to do Borer even on Shabbos. You just have to fulfill three conditions. Biyad, miyad, ochel mitoch psolas. It has to be done biyad, velo bekli. It has to be done for immediate consumption. And you have to take the ochel from the psolas, because that's considered ein derech. Normally, when you do bari, you pull the psolus out to leave yourself a nice dish of ochel. So now we have machlokes beisham beisilel. What about Yom Tov? Does Yom Tov have the same din as Shabbos when it comes to bari? A bari kitnius be Yom Tov. Beisham yomim bari ochel the ochel. Beisham says you can take out the ochel and eat it right away, but you cannot take the psolus from the ochel and you cannot put aside for some later time, because there is no heter of ochel nefesh when it comes to bari. It has the same dinim of Shabbos. That shitas beishame. Borer and Yom Tov is the same as on Shabbos. Ubeis Hillel omrim, but Beis Hillel says no. Borer and Yom Tov is not the same as Borer and Shabbos. The Borer becomes mutter and Yom Tov like any other ochel nefesh, and therefore Borer kedarko. You could take even the psolas from the ochel and the becheko, and if you spread out your talus, you could pour into your lap, and when you shake out the talus, the garinim, the shells are going to roll down to the lower part of the talus, and the psolas will, or the seeds rather, not the shells, will roll down, and the psolas will remain above. And ubekanon, ubetamcho, you're allowed to use other types of implements to aid in the borer process. Avalo betavlo, avalo benaf, avalo becover, but not those types of kalim that are meant to handle massive amounts of food that are more than you're going to need for a short amount of time. That we don't do, because that looks like you're being borer letzorech after Yom Tov, that you're being borer for the tzorach machar. Rav Gamliel lomer af madiach v'sholeh, that you're allowed to be borer kitnios even by soaking it in water and allowing the psolas to float to the top of the water. So even though that looks like an uvda d'chol, says Rav Gamliel, you're allowed to do that. Prima Gadim is not sure if that's considered a malacha gemura that you'd be chayiv chatos on Shabbos for. So the Bir Alacha brings a raya from our Mishnah that it really is borer gemur, because Beis Hillel allows in Yom Tov even prayer d'araisa. And then Rav Gamliel goes a step further and says, even to soak in water and allow the psolas to come to the top, makes it sound like that this is a description of real borer midaraisa, for which you'd be chayiv a karban chatos on Shabbos. So now the Mishnah said that according to Beis Hillel, dinim of borer and Yom Tov are different than Shabbos, and you could be borer kedarko, the psolas mitoch ochel, and it's fine. So the Gemara brings a brisa that explains shitas Beis Hillel. Tanya, Amar Rav Gamliel, bemed dvarim amurim, when does Beis Hillel allow to take the psolas from the ochel? Kisha ochel meruba ala psolas. That's when there's more ochel from psolas. So the lesser tircha is to remove the psolas. Aval psolas meruba ala ochel, but if there's more psolas and there is ochel, then divrei hakol notalos ochel meneach psolas. And even Beis Hillel would agree, you have to pull the ochel out of the psolas. You have to choose whatever would be less tircha. So says Gemara, psolas meruba ala ochel, miyika man deshari, when there's more psolas than there is ochel, would anyone allow pulling the ochel out of the psolas? The whole tarovas should be asar anyway, because it's all muktza, because the minority of ochel would be batel in the rov of the psolas, so it should all be innocent muktza. It's not right for anything. Bittel barov, forget about dinim of borer. So the Gemara answers that when Rabbi Gamliel speaking about borer psalus mitoch ochal and being borer ochal mitoch psalus, letzricha de nafish tircha vizuter b'shira. He's talking about both cases are where there's more ochal. And what he means to say is, by medvar mamurim, that you could pull psalus from ochal, if you want it that way, that's only when the psalus is less than the ochal, either in its quantity or in the tircha of being borer it. And it's better to be memayit the tircha. But if nafish b'tircha v'zutur b'shura, if there's more tircha involved in pulling it from the yochel, more than pulling the yochel from it, like the psalus is these tiny little pebbles that are hard to find, and the yochel is a large these large chunks, these large pieces, where it's very easy to pull it out. So in such a case, you have to be mafrid, you have to separate the yochel from the psalus and not the opposite, because even though the psalus is less quantity than the yochel, it's more of a tircha to get the psalus out, and what we're looking for is to be mimayit betircha b'kol ma'ade efshar, to be mimayit betircha as much as possible. Rav Gamliel omer af mediach v'sholeh. Rav Gamliel says you could even soak it in water and let the dirt come to the top. So tanya amar blazer Rav Tzadik kachay menagim shalbeis Rav Gamliel shemivin tlim alei adashim. They would bring a bucket full of adashim of lentils matzifin alav mayim, and they would float water on top of it. Himself lemato psalus lemayla, and all the psalus would float to the top. Tanya ibcha. But didn't we learn in a brisa the opposite, that the psalus would stay on the bottom of the yochel? Will go to the top. Lo kasha. Haba afra. Haba gili. It depends what type of psalus it is. If it's dirt, since that's heavier than adashim, it would sink to the bottom. Whereas if it's gili, which is like straw, then it's lighter than the adashim, it would float to the top. New Mishnah. Beshami omrim. Now the third category, third topic on our daf, which is sending gifts on Yom Tov. Ein mishalchem b'Yom Tov ele manos. You can only send food that's ready to be eaten on Yom Tov, and that's ready to be eaten today. But you have already cut meat, and it's just all, it's a meat platter ready to go out for the guests. But you're not allowed to send things that require a lot of hachana and therefore are likely to be used for the next day. You can even send live animals; it's perfectly fine. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to send wine and oil and flowers, kidneys and beans, because all of those things can be eaten as is. Avalot tavua, but not grain, because you can't eat it as is. You're going to need to do Tochein Zasar on Yom Tov, because you could have done it on Erev Yom Tov without it losing any of its flavor. Rabbi Shimon Matir B'tzvua. Rabbi Shimon says you're even allowed to send grain because you can eat it without grinding it fully as a porridge, just by crushing it a little bit in a Machteshes Ketana. But the Tanakhama says that's not the normal way that people eat grain, so you don't assume that that's what they're going to do when you send grain. So Tani Rabbi Yechiel taught that you're allowed to send a gift on Yom Tov Vachleya Senem B'shura. You just can't send it with a lot of different people, because then it makes like a whole scene, and it's going to look like you're going out to the shuk and you're trying to sell. It looks like a whole big thing that you're doing, so that you're transferring massive amounts of quantity of food, so that you're not allowed to do. So you can't send with a lot of people. Tana ain't sure b'chus mishosh b'nad. That means at least three people that are on the delivery team. By Ravashi, tlasa gavri, tlasa mini, mai. What if you send three people, but each one has a different min? So what's the din then? Do we follow the number of minim, and just like you're allowed to send each one separately when each one has only one min, so too you're allowed to send three minim with three guys together? Or maybe no, maybe since at the end of the day you're sending all three guys together, so that's going to create a kol, and that's also going to look like you're going out to do business in the shuk. Teku, so the Gemara leaves that unresolved. Rabbi Shimon Matir B'tavua, Tanya Rabbi Shimon Matir B'tavua, Kigon Chitin Lasos Min Ludios. He allows you to send wheat in order to make some type of wheat dish, usarim litin lefnei behemto, or barley to feed the animals, vadashim lasas men resisin, or lentils to make a certain type of lentil dish. And it says the Mishnah, mishalchem kelim bein tefurin bein shein tefurin. You're allowed to send begadim on Yom Tov, whether they're sown or not sown, valf pi sheish ben klaim, and even if they're shatnes, vehin letzorach hamoed, as long as there's a tzorach hamoed for those begadim. The Gemara is obviously going to discuss how would you ever have a tzorach hamoed for shatnes clothing. Avalol and sandal amasumer, but you're not allowed to send a sandal amasumer, which has like these cleats on the bottom of it, that you're not allowed to send because people think that you will think you're allowed to wear it if you send it on Yom Tov. V'lo minal sheino tafer, nor an unsewn shoe. Rabbi Yehuda omer af lo minal lavan, not even a white shoe which hasn't yet been blackened, meshet tzarech uman, because in order to blacken the shoe, it requires a maisu uman to do so. Zakhal kol sheni osin bo b'yom tov mishalchnoso. Anything that a person could actually benefit from and wear, non yamta of that, you're allowed to send. But anything that they're not going to be able to use as is, without some sort of tikkun, you're not allowed to send it as a matana on yamta. So says Mar Bishlam, it's for chazul malvish. I understand sewn begadim you're able to wear on yamta. Shein for nami chazul luxuye. I even understand begadim that aren't sewn, just fabric, because you could use it as a cover or something. El klayim lemay chazul. What are you going to do with shatness? V'chitem chazul lemeimach to say, unless you say, oh, I'll use it as I'll just put it under me and sit on it. Then even though midoraisa that's mutter to do, midrabanan you're not allowed to do that because we're afraid a strand is going to come over your body and therefore it's going to be a violation of klayim. So what's the use of klayim? What use of klayim do you have? And oh, unless you say I'll just put something in between the klayim and what I'm and where I'm sitting. Even you have 10 cushions, one on top of the other, and the bottom one is climbing, you're not allowed to sit in it. Ella, the vilon. What can I possibly use the shatness for? You can use it for a vilon. You can use it for like a window shade. That you're allowed to use climb for, to close off an opening. That's mutter to send on yomtov. That's why you're allowed to send climb on yomtov. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue that conversation at the bottom of the page tomorrow. Yeah.